Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm waking up.
Hello! How is everyone out there in beautiful Blog Talk Radio land? You have come upon Sweet Discussions. Oh, it's going to be a bumpy night. Welcome to Sweet Discussions, a dark poetry night, open dark poetry. Oh, this is... Oh, where am I at? Oh, I'm so fuzzy tonight. No, I'm sorry. Yes, the darkness has me. Ah, this is all poetry. And inside all poetry, this is Team of Voices. Team of Voices is one of the largest poetry sites you can get to. And Team of Voices is sponsored by AP, a fabulous gentleman who helps us sponsors and gives away all kinds of wonderful things. Check us out on All Poetry, Team of Voices, and you'll be happy to read everything he has available. Join one of his contests and you too can be a winner of many wonderful things. But write with beautiful words, beautiful metaphors, beautiful imagery, and all those fabulous things. Come on by, join us, call in tonight, listen to us, have a discussion. But be kind, or I warn you, I might eat you. Put a cast a spell, do all those wonderful things. But I tonight have a studio full of people. But first, Did you love that song? I absolutely love that song. That's written by our own Jay Hatter. Yes, he's a poet here. He's a magical poet. Oh, he has the best rhyme of all time. And I don't rhyme. But I have people here that are ready to talk to me now, absolutely, positively, right now. Ghoulish and wonderful people that I hang around with. People I couldn't do this lovely thing I do on the radio at all. I mean, absolutely not at all. So let's say hello to those beautiful people, starting with the fabulous, magical Pretty Bird. Hello, Pretty Bird.
I need some of that tea because whatever you're drinking is fabulous.
Good. It's actually margarita ice pops that you put in the freezer.
Well, that works for me. I like anything slushy related.
There you go. I'm very excited about tonight. We haven't done a dark show in a while.
I know. How fabulous is that?
I know. And I'm writing very dark right now. Very, very dark. So next we have my other fine gentleman that lives in the dark, which is quite a pity, but he does feel his way through everything, Mr. Rockandor. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm stumbling around. I'm good.
Good. Oh, that's wonderful. And my favorite man about town, Mr. Wayne Jett. How's it going, darling?
Sweet. You're sounding awful sweet tonight.
She sounds awful sweet every night.
Every night, really, but tonight she's booming.
And then coming on the line is our master of presentation, the woman herself, the queen bee, the one that runs our team of voices, Ms. Deborah Lee. How are you this evening, darling?
I'm okay. How are you, darling?
I'm doing good. Life has been up and down and all around in craziness, and I'm bare naked on the fingers. So everything is going well. We have no surgery in sight. I start physical therapy next week. So it's been a wonderfulest day.
Woo! Really glad to hear it.
Cool beans.
Yes, 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 yes. It's crazy, but it's good to go. So. Oh, Sky. You make me cry sometimes, Sky, but that's okay. I'm getting messages from the Skydome. So, I love open dark poetry, and we haven't done it. And it's very, very, very dear to my heart that Jack is coming to visit us and all those fun things. We've got things coming down the pipe because fall is coming, and that's very good because I'm done with summer, even though it's been a very mild summer here in the winter, or here in the mountains. We've got Utah got its first snow, so I'm happy. That means Colorado's got a little dusting going on, and that makes everybody happy. Skiing's about ready to happen. They're going to start fighting for, you know, when to make snow. Because, you know, September's here. The great pumpkin spice chokeout is happening. So everybody start, you know, thinking about how you can murder someone with pumpkin spice. Because, yeah, it's starting to get shoved down our throats. Which I guess I don't too much mind. It is September. They didn't start it this year in the first week of August. So maybe somebody got the message. We don't want to hear about pumpkin in, like, when we're still in our bathing suits. So that's good. Let's see, what else do we have coming down? We got fall colors, which I really enjoy, the aspens, the golden aspens. I love cider, so I'm excited about that. Peaches and apple butter are another thing, so I can start making apple cobbler and peach cobbler. So that's really good. And we get to scare the bejesus out of children, which Halloween is now long, and we must admit Halloween is not an American holiday for small children. It is all about the adults. So if anybody has a different reason for celebrating Halloween, it is now the second most expensive holiday in our country because we're Americans.
Whoa. So, capitalism.
Yes. So, seriously, Deb, how much do you celebrate Halloween?
Not as much now since the kids are grown up.
Well, Wayne, do you celebrate Halloween more now or when you had your kids?
I would celebrate quite a bit. We have trick-or-treaters right here, so I get pretty crazy. I like it all the time. I like to get crazy with Halloween. So it's about the same as always.
Yeah, never changed. Rack, are you just the guy that stands out candy, or do you scare people? Or do you stay in your house and do nothing?
Halloween is dress down day for me.
It's dress down. I'm
scary year round. You know, you get someone that can't see. You never know what's coming out of the closet.
I don't. There's no Halloween trick or treaters where I live. It's funny. I hang out with my grandson a little bit, but his mom and dad take him to like all the like trick-or-boos and trick-or-trunks and all that, so they go out and do their things. I am more of a, I hang out and write the poems, and I hang out here, and, you know, we my husband and I, we drive around, and we look at all the houses that are decorated. It's like almost as much as we go around and look at all the houses at Christmas. So
yeah.
I have a lot of fun with that. So that's kind of what we do.
The first time I saw the witch that flew into the tree with the half a broomstick, I thought that was one of the most hysterical things.
I agree. That's just fun and crazy. So, Deb, I assume you're on a time crunch. Going to go hang out with or going to go get your son. So, if you would like to jump on the board,
I can do that. And I also put a sound clip in there. I'm going to pull a Wayne tonight and listen to myself read. Ha, ha, ha. But I'm grabbing the link now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, dokie, here it comes. Oh, that was yours. I'm going to grab my own.
Okay.
I really did. I was reading yours, and I put yours under my name, so let me go find my poem.
I was wondering why you put
I
my
know.
Poem under
I,
there.
You know, why? Because I had
and
just
I'm
got
like,
done reading and commenting, and then
I'm like,
yeah, like a dingbat. Okay, let me see.
I was very
actually late. Have it. And now I got the right one, and I'm on my way to the chat wall, and there it is.
Archie used to call Edith a dingbat.
I was just wondering if you wanted me to read it on my own show. I was like, that's not quite dark, but thanks for the compliment.
Jeez.
It's on the chat wall. You can push play anytime you want.
All right. Okay, I got to find it.
Should be the first one. They're alphabetized.
Okay. All Christmas, Deb, How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
What?
I can't be at it. Oh, never mind. I'm not at the top of the chat wall. I'm, like, way down. Whoa.
Your studio should have, like, 8 clips at the top, and they're all for tonight.
Yeah, there it is. There we go. Here we go, people.
I Was His Beloved Dress Mannequin by Deborah Lake. Handsome torpedo speaks in rapid-fire missiles. Navigational equipment locks in SOS mode. My head spins me 6,000 nautical miles off course, speeding at 233 knots an hour. Capsized. Deserted like a shipwrecked cruise line, crashed near a tropic island of contentment, but snagged in one space by a heavy steel anchor. Left, bouncing to and fro like a displayed buoy bobbing in prison environment made of turning tides, rippling ebb and flow. Crowded horizon swallows bright blue panorama when stormy devastation surfs through a dark sky. Smell the black trail stench stinking up the air, mixed with pungent sweet chloroformic aroma. The murder triggers sick and gut-wrenching gags. As murder circles on its way to greet death, they fly past battleship gray storm clouds swirling on cool whirlwinds of destructive grief. Soaring winds flap long raven ponytails around. Teardrops roll down frowned lips painted scarlet. Things wide open blue eyes and kisses dress mannequins' bare plastic skin, melting it like dripping red-hot candle wax, exposing bare bones until hollowness shows. Storm gates open and red-hot ache floods my brain. Sinking as salted seawater rises to cover dry land, a cold whirlpool battles to suck me down and drown me. Lightning smacks with white-hot sparks of electric light. Each strobe flashes in tune to thunder's rumbled boom. It's nature, clapping a 21-gun salute. Is this final curtain call mine?
Well, excellent. This is one hell of a way to open my show, let me tell you. I love, A, the title. Let's just start with that. I was his beloved dressed mannequin. I personally think that is a badass title, and that's just the title that jumps me right to that. Okay, I got to read this. Handsome Torpedo Speaks. That is another first line, brilliant metaphor, and you're just like, wow, how fast is he coming at you? What's he doing? I mean, you immediately are drawn into that smack-talking guy, that guy that's going to come at you, that suave, smooth-talking. You know he's good-looking, but what's he got going for him? And, you know, spinning you and going around. I mean, there's so much, and then you're decapitated immediately. He's got you, and he's just, you know, there. I could go on, but I'm not going to. There's so much in here, and your demise is coming, and you feel it, and you're the storm clouds and everything else. And I love soaring winds flap long raven ponytails around teardrops. You have so many great lines in here, so much depth and power this. And the 21-gun salute and all of that, and each strobe flashes and tunes to all of that. And then is this final curtain call mine? Am I going to be his final victim? Is he going to get me too? So I thought it was fabulously written, great story, great, just everything about it. I think it's one of your better pieces. I really, really like this, Deb.
Wow.
Okay, I'm done rambling.
Thank you, my sweet.
You're welcome.
Great.
Your vlog. Yes. And Wayne, your thoughts.
And those are Wayne's thoughts.
Wayne. I guess so. Wayne, where are you?
I lost my screen. I couldn't get my screen back there for a second. I said, this is dark. Each day it gets darker and darker. And then finally, Dibs did. And I got to go to the line and say, as Mark. Go this way, the Greek death, they fly past battleship gray storm clouds. So the darkness has arrived, and Debbie's on the way out, and it's a good town cloud, and see, it's a lot more fun to read it than it is even yourself, isn't it? I thought it was cool. You did a good job. I liked it.
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, this is from 2016, and I was like, oh, this will work. So
oh, yeah.
I'm glad you did it.
And Raconteur.
You know, Robin Williams had part of his skit. He would like make like he's opening a door, welcome to a comedian's mind or something like that. It makes me think of that, you know. And I may be blind, but I think I need a flashlight to walk around inside your head, Deb. That there's some really beautiful, scary metaphors in there. I love the imagery, the teardrop references, all of it. I mean, it's just dark and dark on dark, you know, and then the idea that you might be next, you know, changes, tilts the perspective of the whole thing too, when you get to the end and put stanzas on its head and makes you want to go back and read it again. And like, wait a minute, that changes things a little bit. And then you got to look at it again. That's a beautiful thing to do. You know, it makes you want to go back and drink it again. And you know, and you still leaves you wanting more. It was a great piece.
Thank you very much, Raconteur.
And I don't have my pretty bird back yet, but I soon will. And I really
I am here.
Oh, there you are. Well, you were off board. You were on the other
side. I have been trying to not have my dog take center stage with her unfortunate lungs. So this piece is, to me, I mean, I could be wrong because it's been known to happen. It is a wonderful, introspective, twisted view on that kind of verbal mental abuse with the gaslighting and you get all excited because, you know, to have a conversation about whatever it is. And then you start with Handsome Torpedo Speaks in Rapid Fire Missiles. It's like, you know, he's all fabulous and dreamlike and he could be Prince Charming. And then everything he says cuts you down. It steals your joy. It stabs you in the gut. You don't know what the heck you did wrong. You're looking for reasons why, you know, navigational equipment locks in SOS mode. It's a hard place to be when you're fighting yourself internally, you know, and you get knocked, like just completely spun around unexpectedly by, reactionary nonsense that probably has nothing to do with the situation at hand anyway, because sometimes people just suck. But I thought that this was wonderfully descriptive in that mental torture, because we dare not say anything lest we get the real backlash, you know? And it to me, this reads like time passing from when it first stings to, is this all that's left? Is this what life has become? And I thought that was wonderfully met. It was fabulous.
Excellent interpretation. Awesome
Thank
comment.
You.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
Back to you, sweet.
Back to me. I'm here. Okay. Where are we going with all this? I have so many recordings tonight. Good. So, back to all poetry. Back to my group. I told you I'm very discombobulated tonight. I don't know why. That's just who I am tonight. I know you love me that way. All right. Opening the dog. Okay. So, that was a great way to start the show, by the way. Rack. Let's throw you up there. You want Rewind or Under a Blood Moon?
Well, it depends on you. One's a ghost story and the other's a werewolf tale.
Let's go with Rewind.
That's a ghost story. That's a good one. I haven't heard that one in like 3 years old, I think.
I like ghost stories.
You are on the board.
I really do. You are on the board. Look at that sexy little voice talking to us. You are on the board. All right. Dun.
Is that a recording or is that really her?
That's really her. I just have to find it. I'm telling you what, I am so... There it is. Here we go.
Rewind by Raconteur. Sitting at her vanity, adorned in a diaphanous emerald camisole that exaggerated her alabaster skin, she gazed wistfully into the giant mirror. The room behind her was black as pitch, except for the dim yellow light underlining the crack beneath the bathroom door. Everything was quiet as a tomb, except for the rhythmic tick-tock of the grandfather clock. Keeping time with the sounds of the brush running through the waterfall of crimson hair that made her look like elven royalty. Her dark chocolate eyes were puffy and moist from weeping. Moments like this, her mind can't help but play the skeletons of her memories like a xylophone, trying to soothe the ghost haunting her conscience. Closing her eyes, the lines between fantasy and reality blur, filtering out everything except the innocent squeals and giggles of a child's happiness. This was the sound that anchored her to this world. The bathroom door opened and a man emerged, walking past her as if she wasn't there, turning her into a spectator watching reruns in slow motion. A child's dresser bed came bounding into the room and leapt into the man's arms. He kissed her gently on the head and asked if she brushed her teeth. "Of course," she replied soberly. He said, "I love you," as he tucked her into bed. The child, now visibly overcome with sadness, said, "I miss Mommy." The man hugged her and said, "So do I, sweetheart. So do I." End story.
That just gave me the chills. Totally gave me the chills. God, that was so, like, you know that is going on in so many houses in America, whether it's the father, the mother, the grandfather, you know that is happening. That there are people watching you, people taking care of you, people that they're there. That there's laughter or there's love or there's sadness or they feel something's not done and they have to stay. They have to be there to watch. They have to be there to care. They have to be there to know. You can feel them. You know that. I just think, A, it's beautiful. And there's a reason that mom stays or there's something there. And the reason the child can actually have innocent squeals and giggles because the mom's still there with her. And she's not floating in depression and all of that, but because there's someone there watching her. I just feel it. I know that's crazy, but I think it's true. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I have a real quick question before I go on my, you know, wonderful, you know, vociferous rant. So is it that because my brain cannot brain with my dog being the way she is it that they are dead or is it that she is dead?
She's the spectator. She's dead.
Okay.
Right smack in the middle, I mentioned that's what anchors her to the world. So that's the only giveaway to the fact that it's her that's the ghost.
Okay. Like I said, distracted by, you know, dog asthma. But I love the idea of there's a sadness. I personally like to think that, you know, whatever afterlife looks like for whoever is crossing over to whatever, you know, I would like to think that there are no tears. But other than that, this is very, very haunting. It's very lovely. And you can't tell me that those that pass don't keep an eye. You know what I mean? Don't, at least on occasion, you know, come to check in on everybody. Because I think that in one way or another, we all notice, we all feel it, we all can see, and there's no explanation, there's no logical whatever, it's just something that we know. You know, if you ever experienced it, you experience it. And I think that this is wonderfully wistful, and it aches. It aches beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah, it does. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes, this is dark, but it's also a touching poem. Kind of makes you feel good inside just reading it. So, her being dead, she can come back to see her family, and the girl said she missed her. It's really, made mama parents feel pretty good. So it's dark, but it's a sentimental, and it's a very good poem, and it's touching. I like it. It's kind of ain't really sad as it is. I kind of enjoy the way that she's there and watching her kid come to go to bed. It's kind of nice to me. It's kind of a nice poem. It's kind of sentimental to me, too. I like it a whole lot.
Thanks, Wayne.
Now, when I write dark, I write dark. And I've been friends with Pretty Bird and Rack and Wayne for a while. So sometimes I have to go back in my life and go, what haven't they heard? So I don't believe that you guys have heard this. And So let's go through. I haven't read it, so I don't know what's in it. I haven't read it for a while, but I don't write now how I wrote then, so forgive whatever's here. But I know it's kind of dark, so let's see what's in here, because I went back in the vault. So this is linen skin. Flies buzz about above deceased bodies, eating the flesh from rotten bone, tending to the sexual needs and hungry greed. Maggot nurseries open up as each breed needs more meat in which to feed. The magnitude of the fly's population is growing recklessly without hesitation. No one seeks proper sanitation. They land, they shit, flutter, eat, and fornicate. They bring more bodies to throw into this pit. I now lay three rows down in my linen skin. Now spiders have managed to crawl in. They lay eggs for future spawn. What did I do in my life to lay in the grave? Others screaming still alive. Why must I hear and feel it? Why must I hear and feel it all? Why did death not take me away from this torture of sin? And is that gasoline that I smell? Could my wish be coming true? Will I die in this hell? Do you answer my prayers, my Lord, light? My Lord, light the match, let the linen skin I'm in burn so that I might die. End poem. Well, there you go.
Well, aren't you just fabulously macabre? I mean, this is just wonderfully gross.
Isn't it, though?
It really is. Oh. It's all maggots and carcasses. And, you know, those that are still alive over there are still screaming. I, however, am going to die with dignity. They do not need to know that I'm sitting here in all this pain, feeling all the nasty, knowing what's happening next. And maybe now I can die a very painful, horrible burning of my flesh, burning alive death, just so that at least I could die and stop this nonsense with the life cycle of flies. I mean, that is just wonderfully descriptive and absolutely horrible. I mean, could you imagine? And I love, and you used to do it a lot, and I don't know that you do it so much now, but this one does it, where halfway through you give us a twist. So it's all lifespan of the flies with all the maggots and the carcasses, and wait, she is still alive in there in her half-dead state, and that picture is something else. But I love that when you twist it up like that, where here's a little nonchalant little blurb that changes the entire perspective. And so I love it because it is so wonderfully gross, and it's like a car wreck that you can't stop looking at, you know? It is fabulous. So I was full of thrall, but I am a little twisted, so that could just be me. So Wayne, what are your thoughts on these flies that shit, flutter, eat, fornicate?
Sorry, those are my friends.
That sounds like a bunch of your friends.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah, that's it. Now, this is dark. This is dark. And laying there in your linen skin, feeding the wildlife with your ears. And usually not to hear the ones that aren't dead yet, so I sit there feeding the wildlife, and the maggots, the flies stole the show, it looks like to me. They're up there busy, they all get out. And getting sitting there getting ate while you're dead is pretty bad, and then you won't get burned after that, so you're not having a very good day there, I don't think. So that's pretty bad. But,
oh, my God.
I don't mean to
talk
kind of her days.
It's a real day. Great dirt for them.
See, that's how you kill somebody, Wayne, and I'm still waiting. I love you.
Well, I kill them. They don't keep talking. I kill them.
Well, this is true because you kill them dead, so, you know, much appreciated. So, Rock and Tour, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. You know, with the bugs and you got spiders in there, too, which, you know, that's kind of brave of you since I think you don't like spiders very much. So,
Not really, no.
including them in your pieces is a cool nod to the fact that, you know, yeah, they exist. I'll acknowledge them and coexist with them and even let them adorn my words. But, you know, I don't like you very much. But you still,
well,
you
all
still take advantage.
Why? Somebody's got to be there.
You know, you take advantage of that, you know. But yeah, the idea of the death and destruction, and like Pretty Bird said, the twists are the things that I love the most, because the way that you present them, it's all, you know, very southern and honey and sugar, and you know, by the time you're done and you're walking away, you're like, wait a minute, did she just insult me? You know, it's like you don't realize you got hit with it afterwards, and it's already like sunk in. Yeah, you're gone, and they're like, wait a minute, what just happened? You know, and that bewildered feeling is a beautiful thing. I love the way you do that, and you do it so well.
Oh, thank you. That is very odd. I'm even thinking, what mood were you in that you wrote that?
Well, it was October, so spooky season kind of breeds it.
Yeah, that's about my fear of dying alive or being buried alive. I have that fear, and I mean, this totally reflects it. So there you go.
Mommy, where do spiders come from? Well, here you go.
Here you go. Read about it. So that's definitely where that comes from, but that's funny. Oh, that is funny. All right. Let's see, where are we going to go from here? Let's see. Pretty Bird.
Yes, love.
Let's throw up Mr. Wayne. Let's put up Mr. Wayne.
I can do that.
All right. I put two of them on the board. Down to the Bone is probably the best one. I want to hear first.
You put two of them? Oh, there you, yes, you did. Down to the Bone. Got it.
It's just a little dark.
Na-na-na-na-na.
Okay, I'm not sure which one is in the studio. I only see one. Let me refresh to make sure, because they both have a SoundCloud, but you didn't post them at the same time. So I'm not sure which one. Yeah, there's only one that's in there. It's probably this one since it was the first one.
Yeah.
Do you see it, sweet?
Wait. It just says Wayne for sweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if it starts finally, I'm here and left alone, then it's the right one.
All right. Well, let's try it.
This is called Down to the Bone.
Oh, there we go.
Finally, I'm here. And left alone, chills cover me down to the bone. How could I let this happen to me? Wanted to help, just stopped to see. She was crying, down on her knees. Heard her begging to help her please. It was dark, wanted to give her a hand. God help me, I didn't know her plan. As I walked toward her, everything got quiet. It was cold and dark last night. I reached out to touch her shoulder. She screamed, leaped up, looked older. She was evil, opened pits for eyes. I froze. It was quite a surprise. She reached out. Grabbed me. Thought, damn, how could this be? With a touch, I became numb. How could I have been so dumb? Everything she said, I quickly obeyed. She had control. Didn't have to be persuaded. I wanted to run, but was under a spell. The feeling was terrible. It felt like hell. She had a wicked hand kind of smile. Started to panic after a while. Led me inside a cave I've never seen. can't believe this bitch is so mean. It's dark. Lit by two candles. I'm barefoot. Had already lost my sandals. Had me up against a cold, wet wall. Couldn't believe everything I saw. She had a pot with some liquid in it. She would stir a while, then quit. Tied my feet apart, tore off my pants, started reciting some kind of weird chant. Took an old crooked knife, cut my skin. It hurt like hell. Could feel it go in. Wiped my blood across her face. Saw the evil smile as she took a taste.
Ugh.
Walked over to the pot with the jar. Scooped some out. It looked like tar. She opened my mouth. Poured some in. I got dizzy. Couldn't tell what was happening. Remember passing out. It was a long time ago. What else she done to me? I just don't know. I'm naked. With teeth bites all over me. Blood is everywhere. I can see. I tried to keep my head bowed down. She walked over and slapped me without a sound. All I can do is stand here and weep. It would be better if I just went to sleep. No way to escape. I'm at her will. She walked out of the cave. Everything got still. I know pretty soon I'll be dead. There's so much going on in my head. Finally, I'm here and left alone. Chills cover me down to the bone. And...
oh my God, Wayne, you killed yourself.
Oh my God.
That's awesome. OMG.
A little dark.
Oh.
Man, Wayne's off the pitch should be one line. Everybody dies.
Oh. This is horrible. That bitch is so mean. That was great, by the way. This is like the bride to your serial killer series. She kills you. I'm very upset about this, but yeah, she did. At some point, you have to say no. It's okay to say no.
Yep.
Oh my God. This is horrifically horrid, dark, and nastily fun. I'm sorry. I laughed and I cried. I got tissue. There's a lot of blood. So I this is written so well. I mean, it is one hell of a way to die. Chills cover me down to your bone. You're all alone, and you're covered in wicked little bites. By the way, that picture is horrible. I mean, that is a wicked picture. That might give me nightmares tonight. I'm just saying, holy crap, I don't know where you got it, but it's like something like The Exorcist is like painting. Like, oh, it's just a nice evening out. I think I'll do a self-portrait. But this is fabulous. Great write. I just really great write. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, this really is a little bit of a roller coaster between the lovely, lulling music and the and your change in inflection. You know, you're just helping this poor girl. She's just crying and sad. And you know, you had the nerve to touch her, and all hell breaks loose. She's an old bag. You turn into a hypnotized zombie-like person, and she's gutting you and feasting on your flesh while you're looking at her and shoving who knows what kind of toxic crap down your face, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you're like, well, now she's gone, and here I am, just gutted and alone, and, you know, please let me die. And it's fabulous. It's not that it's sinister. It is almost heartbreaking. It's like this poor guy, you know, he was just trying to be nice. You know, I keep on telling everybody, sometimes people just suck.
This would be one of those times.
Is it?
Well,
that
they
is awesome.
Yeah, you liked it?
Oh, yes. Raconteur, your thoughts.
I just keep hearing one of my ex-girlfriends going, bite me. I love you to death, Wayne. You know, your perspective of certain situations and the way you run with things is absolutely fantastic. And you know, you tell a great story at the same time. You got to really listen to and pay attention to be like, you know, wait a minute. You know, is this what's going on? You know, and when the sweat starts to sink in, you just keep digging. And you don't let it go like a dog with a bone. And I think it's fantastic. I love this.
Thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Absolutely great.
Oh, God. I agree. It's just absolutely a fabulous story. All right. You did that. That was brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks for the comments.
You're welcome. Just brilliant. I will be crying at your wake. Let's see. Pretty Bird, it is your turn. Give me something
my
about
turn.
A bird.
Long or short?
I don't care.
A or B?
B.
A.
Oh.
Okay. Sweet, it's your show. What did you say?
She said B.
I said A.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
B.
A is fine.
Obviously, Rack wants B. He knows more than me, so we're going with the
well,
B.
Well, he wanted A, so we can go with A. It's fine. That would be the long one, by the way.
Okay.
It is on the board. I'm assuming you don't want the audio that's loaded. You want me to read it?
Well, whatever you prefer, darling.
I don't care. It's fine. This is Company Unseen. I'm going to need my glasses because that's lots of little words. Shadows had a voice that evening. Footsteps on night air followed close enough to bristle hair and warm breath. Then, silence. Singing away the chill down my spine, walking faster to whatever lyrics popped in mind, still the louder I sang, the more vociferous the noise. Contemplating waiting beneath the aura of every street lamp, but slowing down felt too close, and running felt too insane, so I like big butts and I cannot lie. Stepping to the brisk beat, I could almost believe it was an easy stroll, but there was nothing easy about claustrophobic outdoors. Each growl of passing cars, every rush of wind carried with it another spirit. More footsteps, never quite in time with my own. Home at last, doors locked, lights on, I sat in the armchair waiting for it to feel quiet. But the air felt tight around my skin, tighter with every breath, louder with each heartbeat. Shadows changed shape in stagnant light, and windows offered no solace. Oh, Lord, my God, when I and I... And they moved again in a low hum. That may have been my refrigerator, but sounded like the voices stuffed individuals' chatter and moved as one in too close a proximity for me to move without feeling them, whatever they were. Them, the shadows, the voices, the air itself. But if it's on the air or in it, then every breath taints me, filling me with more fear, and the eyes that I see in my head look at me with my eyes open. I sat motionless, awaiting dawn. I wondered what would become of tonight, but it's every night, and the sun is too far away to steal my trepidation. End poem.
Wow. That's crazy. Oh, God. I cannot even imagine, it's like the hair on the back of my neck. The essence in the room. Oh, my God. shadows had a voice that evening. Footsteps on night air followed close enough. Bristle, hair, and warm breath, then silence. How many times has that actually happened to you, though? Because it happens to people. It happens to us. It happens. Do not deny that it happens. The
oh,
reason
it does.
You can write of it, because it happens. That's
she gets scratch marks on her arms.
Oh, we are not talking my personal trauma.
But that's what's scary about this stuff, is it happens. How many times have you just been walking by and that warmth just comes across your neck and you go, what? What is that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's just wrong. Wayne, what do you think of this? That was a piece of, oh.
Well, I need a Valium. It makes me nervous. Claustrophobic outdoor, that's as bad as you can get. And then paranoid, it's like, ooh. And then pretty much as crazy as I am, except you're a little poetic.
Well, if I'm Wayne crazy, then I have made the upper echelons. That is fabulous.
Okay, I think it's scary, but it's humorous, too. It's kind of humorous the way he's going down the street carrying on like he was. And I see nobody all the time. But I don't know what you're going through there. It's a dark scary. It's a nervous wreck. That's a great, great poem. Great poem, and you're it well.
Oh, you're awesome.
Oh, my God. And Rakentor, tell me about the house. Never mind. Tell me about this poem.
You know, if you are Wayne crazy, we know someone that's going to help you bury the bodies.
My God.
This is insane. I mean, it's kind of along the same lines of what I was going for as far as things that go bump in the night, but I was a little more specific what the noises that were being heard and replayed. You went in that other direction of, everything is, if you pay attention, it's just on the fringes outside of your perception. It's there, but, you can't really acknowledge it. You can't really see it, and that's the idea of, like, that there's more that goes on than you can see. That's what makes this scary. Love it.
Awesome. It was written to a quote. The quote I chose was, something was creeping and creeping and waiting to be seen and felt and heard by H.P. Lovecraft. And I'm like, well, all right, then. I can write that.
Yeah. I love H.P. Lovecraft. I just think he's got some of the greatest stuff out there. It's just amazing what he does. I mean, he's got some good shit up. I mean, I know there are a lot of Poe people, but he's like, he's so good. Let's see. Where are we at now? I need, why don't we do Infinite Destruction?
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll do one to go, because that was the first one on the list.
Okay.
It is on the board.
Okay. All right. Up to the blog talk. Bum, 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 bum.
On a side note, I can give my dog a piece of watermelon. It's fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I'm going to give her a treat.
Yeah, watermelon's good. No problem with the watermelon. Watermelon is one of the best fruits you can have. I don't know if you guys know that, but the benefits of watermelon outweigh the benefits of almost every fruit.
I eat it twice a day.
I don't know. There's a strong argument for pineapple juice.
Where is he? Does he need a reader or does he have a... Oh, there it is. Got it. All right. You ready? Here we go. All for infinite.
Where the Wendigo call it home. Arctic, where the flurries of tundra wooded air slicing through flesh with its jack-frosted, plated wisps. Crying induced without emotion in that rigid wood, yet I alone didst dare to tarry there. Color me insane, careless, perhaps even mindless. I trudged along, legs sluggish, each step falling into snow-laden depth. The trees black, their naked limb fingers clawing each other, the sky an opaque, ghostly white, the scene colorless. The silence did shatter with each crunch of my travel. I didst halt suddenly to taste that nectar, the lack of a single disturbance. Such a sensational sensation, committing it all to immortal memory. Then came at the snap of twig, that piece there and within didst unravel. I didst whip my hooded head to face it from whence it came. Azure irises shifting side to side, but nothing appeared amiss. Perhaps it were but an ice-burdened limb giving way. This I didst whisper within, surely 'twas all there couldst be to blame. But I ne'er have been a fool, drawing dagger, defensive tool. I didst not move, but I listened intently, calm thoughts chanting in my mind. What meaning 'twas there behind such fear? 'Tis but a lonely wood, nothing more or less. Though I've never been here, certainly it was the same. But the black devoured the azure in my eyes when it didst appear. You'd think it wouldst choose to hunt it with much more silence, most like it wouldst lie hidden in wait, and ambush its want at a moment just before last. But there it did stand in its grotesque, drooling, gore-clothed presence. Antlers, misshapen in direction, body 'twas a giant skeleton, perforated. The flesh upon its ribs 'twas rotten, torn by its own claws. Its limbs like the trees, slender, long, and jagged. But its skull face, such horror, like a deer and man had mated. Yet the decor 'twas the most haunting featured presentation. Furred flesh did drape from claw and crocodile teeth, blood garnished. The eyes, oh dear, its eyes. Only the blackest well couldst dare to compete. Of course, heart and pulse danced, that body locked in hesitation. Should I flee? Too late now, for the monster didst turn to peer at me. Gods be near, I didst pray as it lumbered silently to its prey. Stricken, that skull didst come inches from my face. An otherworldly godless roar with putrid air rained down oppressingly. I didst turn to run but fell immediate. Despair didst consume. A ripping pain speared my ribs and I thought its claws had dug within. But nay, my dagger had attempted and so caused the loss of life. Ironic tool of defense made Achilles' offense, gifting utter doom. I write this to thee to warn thee there ne'er should ye roam, for that patch of woods is now my grave, and where the Wendigo calleth home.
Wow. That was a pretty brilliant story. I think the depth of the imagery is so, it just engrosses you. The way he describes the character and the way he brings that character to life. And you are so afraid of the character as it approaches and he comes near you. And you can almost feel, you know, that person, his own fright. You can, like, feel the sensations in his body. Like, the sweat and have the heart pumping and everything is staring down, you know, the Wendigo. And you're like, oh, my God, he's coming towards you, he's coming towards you. And yet he dies by his own knife. The Wendigo never touches them, never does anything but brings in this great fear. And his descriptions are so beautiful of all the surroundings of himself, of this creature. And in the end, he kills himself. So, you know, you also wonder if his blade of him killing himself is what made him think of this creature. So as he's laying there dying, writing this note or this letter, did he make up the creature? Because of the winds and the trees and all that, is that what he sees in it? Or is that why he actually fell? So there's all kinds of, you know, nuances that are going on in here, but I really, really enjoyed every bit of it. I love my body was a giant skeleton, perforated, fleshed upon its ribs, was rotten, torn by its own claws. That's just superb imagery. Excellent story. All right. I wonder if Pretty Bird came back from her doggy adventures. Rat, what did you think?
I loved it. I'm a little tainted because of comic books and the Wendigo is a character on the Marvel side. That's the Canadian Bigfoot. So I'm a little slanted in my view of it, but his description is perfect to that. And the legends that I've heard and things like that. So it's a wonderful story. And I like you said, that you know, he ends up, you know, dying by his own blade, and the Wendigo is, you know, ha ha, I'm innocent.
Yeah, I know.
That's a cool thing to be able to pull off, you know. It's not easy to be, you know, so ominous and foreboding, and yet, you know, nope, left turn. You know, so that was a great twist. Enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. Yes, and Wayne.
Yes, this is a wonderfully dark poem with great narration. I could see this creature, and I could feel his fear. The details were amazing, and the tension built wonderfully throughout the poem. It's a great, dark, poetic masterpiece. It's professionally done, and I'm in awe. It's just great wording and great poem. It grabbed you and let go of you. It's a great, great poem.
Yeah, it's really great. All right. Hey, Bird, you home yet? Are you still off with Edith? Evie. Yeah. She did something naughty. She ran away with something. So.
I'm back. I missed the whole thing. And I tried to read it, but I can't see the white on the grayscale, so I'm going to have to listen to it later and write a comment.
It's quite good. Quite the story. Very well good about the Wendigo. Ah, yes, you might enjoy that. Where are we now? Let's see. JCA. And JCA needs a reader. So.
And if you read Jay, I'll read Angel.
Right.
Or vice versa. I'm happy either way.
I was going to say probably vice versa.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't looked at either one of them, so.
I think Pee-wee needs a reader, too.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, you could definitely read Pee-wee.
Happy to. Okay.
I love Pee-wee's words, but he's got those, you know, words I can hardly ever say.
Oh, you're fine. I'm happy to. So JCA is on the board. This is Faces of Angels. Vienna violins hum in the Shunget night, twinkle in the streetlights of lanes. Beside nurses holding the pruned hands, bracing the knobs, skinned shoulders, and pinching the snapshot fissured noses. Down the hatch, water flowing, filling the trachea, drip, pour, swish, gasp, the gurgle, code blue. Another aspen shrivels in the geriatric air. Cobwebs spun is the corners of the skull. Wayward turn, hopping with the fractured wing. Giddy girls paint the canvas in the Hades hand nameplate. But the doctor hears the bragging. police listen to the 49 confessions four nurses sailed to prison. Today, they are free. End poem.
Well, there we go. Hold on, you guys. My computer just took me somewhere completely out of the realm of where I was.
Well, when you get back to finding it, I'll go ahead and read his author notes so that I can give them a little background. You okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. JCA's author's notes say, welcome to the story of one of the most horrific serial killer stories in the history of Austria, known as Elaine's Angels of Death. Four female nurses took it upon themselves to play God, and it excited them. With this said, they confessed to 49 murders, but in all, they are suspected of around 200. They would force water down the victim's lungs until they drowned to death. For more information, click below. So if you want to find out all the deets, there's a link.
That is horrific, AJCA. Yeah, giddy girls paint the canvas in the Hades hard nameplate. But it's more horrific to me because it's real.
The thing that makes it so horrific to me is all the things that they have at their disposal, you know, air in your heart and in your bloodstream, you know, all the ways that they have to kill someone, they chose to drown them. And you hear about mercy killings, you hear about, you know, overdosing with morphine, succinylcholine, all these crazy things. And all they did was like, you know, nope, cup of water, you're dead. And that's like, you know, drowning, I'm sure, is among your claustrophobic fears because, you know, I don't like the water for that reason myself. But, they did not go gentle into that good night. So, yeah, that makes it a little scary. That makes it a little scary.
I love the giddy girls. I love that. It just makes them so, like, it made them giddy. It made them, like, feel so powerful and all of that. So that's what I don't understand. You know what I mean? I don't, how they get that way. How does somebody get that way?
You
read it. What do you think?
I think there's something slightly humorous in the way he wrote down the hatch with the water flowing, filling the trachea, drip, pour, switch, gasp, gurgle, code blue. It's just, it's compelling. And not that it's actually funny, but it feels a little surreal, you know, because that is not, I mean, it's easier to give somebody a syringe full of insulin and have them die than it is. This is, I have to hold you down, pinch your mouth, pinch your nose open, and give you enough water that you can't breathe through it, thus you drown. That is time-consuming. That takes a lot of strength. That is deliberate. It is not quiet. I mean, what the hell that they can get away with that 200-plus times? I mean, do people not notice? I mean, you're literally holding somebody down, pinching their airway, and forcing water down their throat. Does nobody notice that their bed's a little wet? I mean, how does that happen? Like, repeatedly.
I agree.
And, like, it's a whole little team of them. It wasn't just one sinister nurse Ratched. It's a whole slew of them. There's four of them. That's crazy. You know, people just don't pay attention on the night shift. They're like, oh, no, you got it. You're good. Oh, did they die? My bad.
Another death on the night shift.
Somebody died. Wei, your thoughts.
Yes, JCA is amazing with his serial killer poems.
Jay says that drowning their victims simulated the death symptoms of pneumonia. I was like, but it still took time and effort. You know,
right.
I mean, it was it's not
probably,
easy.
He probably had a bottle of wine and was toasting. to the party. He's a timekeeper of serial killers. Each one of them is real, and that's what makes it so scary. They're real. And JC's a wonderful writes wonderful. Interesting Killers is a bit morbid, which makes it so tasty. He did a great job of this one as he did the other ones. I ate like every one of them, and I never heard any of them. I'm glad I didn't be scared to death. But he did a great job of this one, too.
You know,
yeah, sweet. The fact that they get giddy, you know, the whole Angel of Death thing, that only adds to it.
I thought the doctors were the ones who were supposed to have the God complexes.
I think nurses.
Be still, Granny. I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah.
Like, ah, he's going to die soon enough anyway. That's horrible.
I know. It just gives me, it really does. I'm just like, oh, really?
This is the last time you complain about oatmeal for breakfast.
I don't get it. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I'm all about, you know, the darkness and the craziness and everything, but when it comes to, like, the real people, I just sit there with my mouth hung open going, what is your problem? Did somebody not give you a cookie? I mean, what was it?
Their
mother
didn't love
them. Were you not allowed to be the leader? My mother didn't love me either.
No more wire hangers.
OMG.
No more wire hangers. Well, my mother loved me, but, you know, everybody has issues. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of us internalize them, some of us externalize them, you know.
I guess. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go read Heavenly.
If you want to, I'll read Pee-wee's if you want to.
Okay, that's awesome.
All right, I'm going to read Heavenly.
Life.
Because she's always got something sweet and pretty to say. I can't wait to read her Darkness. I love her in the dark.
There she is.
And
see, look at that pretty angel. Demoness by Heavenly Angel in a dark and misty house where no Christian man has been. Wicked Annabella mixes a brew by dancing shadows and firelight. It's a cliche, but like all cliches, it's the truth. Your life can change overnight or in a moment. That is, if Annabelle has her way with you. Raven hair and ruby lips, sparks fly from her fingertips, echoed voices in the night. She's a restless spirit on an endless flight. Damnation's whore is looking for a victim tonight. With an angry soul and a wicked design, you will. Your will cannot endure, and her heart is torn away. None of us are innocent, not one. You play with dead things. You're more likely to join them. End poem. Oh, I love this. If you play with dead things, you're more likely, more than likely to join them. Oh, that's awesome. You got your warning.
Well, that's true unless you're married to them.
Oh, fabulous. Damnation's whore. These are some great lines, Heavenly. I really, really like that. None of us are innocent. Not one. These are some great lines. Oh. She's a restless spirit on an endless flight. She's always watching. I'm loving this. See, this is what I'm saying. It's a cliche, but all cliches, it's the truth. I better stop quoting lines, or Pretty Bird's going to be mad at me. So, Pretty Bird, what do you think?
I'm never mad at you.
You know, I don't know that there's anything that she can't write well. I love her sensual. I like her darkness. I do. It brings you in enough to fill you with your own trepidation, you know, which I love, because anything that puts you in a space that makes you second guess things, you know, and I absolutely, absolutely love that. You know, your life can change overnight or in a moment, that is, if Annabelle has her way with you. And I kind of like this Annabelle. She's a little sinister. She's a little gutsy. She's a little damned. I'm down with that. I absolutely love me. Not with the whole playing with the dead things part, but everything else sounds fabulous. And,
right.
So I love Damnation's Whore. Excellent freaking line. Damnation's, and that is just fabulous, is looking for a victim tonight with an angry soul and a wicked design. Your will cannot endure, and your heart is torn away. Now, if we take this slightly less sinister, maybe it's more sinister, and, you know, that sounds like a woman on the prowl ready to chew some guy up and spit her out and spit him out. Sucks to be him. You
That's
know,
the
and
name of
even,
the chicken cave.
What?
That's who ate Wayne.
Yes, oh,
well,
there you go. Now you know. What? That's awesome.
I like this poem. When she spoke with Annabelle, I kind of perked up. I wrote a dark poem with Annabelle and Mike Myers hooked up together. And they had those guns up everywhere and did chill to rotten. Annabelle's a character. I'll tell you what, she's a bad woman. And she's a doll, but she's a bad woman.
Awesomeness. Did you want to put Pee Wee up, sweet? Because Wayne said he'd read them.
That's awesome. Yes, please.
And he is on the board. I also got Wayne's second loaded. So refresh your studio. It should be in there for when we get around to it. So now you know.
All right. Thank you.
When they're ready, Wayne.
Wayne, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I got it. This is Wayne doing Pee Wee's poem manifesto. And it goes like this. Some distant plane on another wave. Going quite insane, digging my grave. Consequence of Revolution, written by Victorious. Nursing home institutions, consolidation of inglorious. Solitude, sweet sorrow, choking air breathe. No thoughts of tomorrow when yesterday's bleed. Prescriptions addiction, business consequence. Consequent afflictions, same results manifest. Saving of the lashing, memoirs of our past, genocidal compassion, owed out to the mass. Again.
Paper, can you comment real quick?
Absolutely.
My computer's kicking.
Yeah, you know, this is horrible because it's true. I mean, it's when we put our old in a home. You know, sometimes it's a necessity. Sometimes we can't take care of them. Sometimes they need more than we can give. You know, sometimes it happens, but not every nursing home is created equally. You know, there are places out there that want to be the, we'll just call them guardians. I don't know what the proper term is, so that they get all the government money and the insurance money and all the money, and then and they don't care for them. They pill so they feel no pain. They don't let them do whatever. They abuse them in all kinds of ways. The nice ones, you know, that prescription addiction lessens consequence, consequent affliction, same results, the results manifest. Yeah, we're going to give you morphine to death, and nobody's going to know because you're old. And that is a scary, like this, if I ever make it to, like, you know, full on elderly, this is my fear. I'm like, I raised four kids, and one of them, that they can play hot potato with me. I don't care. Do not leave me in a place where I don't know anybody, I don't trust anybody, and don't sign my crap over. It's like, unless, of course, I am completely, like, gone mentally and bedridden or whatever god-awful thing might happen to me, then feel free to leave me there because I won't know any different. But, yeah, this is horrible. I mean, it's very well written and really puts you in that place. And all I see are those long, empty hallways where you can hear people talking at distance, but you don't really see anybody paying attention to anybody else. And you hear the occasional, like moaning from one of the old and dying down the hall, and everything smells like that weird, like cheap hospital sanitizer, not the good hospital sanitizer, like as far as they're cleaning stuff, because there is a difference between the a nice hospital smell and I don't give a crap nursing home smell.
Dollar Tree.
It is just, it's nuts. I'm like, you know, put some Fabuloso in there or something. Make it smell better than that. But yeah, oh no, I was back in when my grandmother spent she had her second stroke, and she spent 3 weeks in a nursing home. So we had to visit her every day. I hated that place because I was that little girl that loved old people because old people loved me. I would get all the fuzzy purse candy from all the strange old people. Yeah, do you need a sweet? I have a sweet. And it's almost like this weird unwrapped crap that they pull out of the bottom of their purse. But I used to love old people. I went to that place, and all I could do was cry because it was just this horrible feeling when I walked in there. I was like six. And
Have a whore.
That was not fun.
Have a whore
house. I'm telling you. I'm taking one right now. And so, Pee-wee, thanks for having me revisit my trauma. Much appreciated. But you got to love a poem that takes you out of yourself and puts you someplace else. So, good job. Are you ready?
I took my breath. I'm ready. Boy, this is, talk about bringing up trauma craziness. This is very hard for me just to swallow in the last 2.5 years. I've watched my dad in a nursing home and go from my home, my brother's home, into a nursing home, to hospice, to death. I watched my father-in-law go from home to a nursing home, to hospice, to death. I watched my mother-in-law go from her home to my to a nursing home, to my home, and never go back. She passed away in my home. There are so many truths in this poem that it is the most frightening, dark, sinister way that we treat individuals. At age, we have no respect for our elders as a country. It makes me, it's another side of me that nobody really sees unless you know me very deeply, and I fight, and I fight, and I fight. If I could take a little bill off of Capitol Hill, it would be once you reach the age of retirement, 71, 72, whatever the hell it is, you pay no more fees, you pay no more bank fees, you know, pay no more whatever it is. No, you erase all those. Why the hell, the next 25 years of your life, should you have to pay a fee to anyone? I fight for some of the craziest things for our people because I've been paying. I don't care. Why do you have to pay a tax on your groceries, a tax on your gas? You've been doing that for 20, 70 years or whatever it is, or they don't have to pay them anymore. And this is my soapbox because why? Why? Why do you have to do that? I just think there are so many laws that have to be abolished for our elderly because they're eating cat food, because you are taxing all the money they earn, all the money that they put into our system again. Why? Why are we doing that? So this takes me to a place that has been very raw for me. So thank you, Pretty Bird, for talking first. And Wayne, your thoughts.
Well, this is, in my view, this is a guy coming home from war. It's wounded, mortally wounded, and going to a nursing home. It's a, explains why war is hell, and This is bad, but the wounded is even worse. I put through two of the most embarrassing things, locked in nursing homes, and we become addicted and turn into a pile of nothing, wishing to die. War is hell. Pee Wee knows it well in this poem. And it's just all you do when you lay in nursing home, you just lay there until you die, and there's really nobody else really cares. It's, you just lay there by yourself, and it's just sad. And I'm going through right now. I got a guy living next door. It's 80 years old, and he's in pretty bad health, and I'm trying to take care of him. And the fees are killing him. He's just going every time he goes to the doctor, it costs him a fortune, it seems like. And he's losing all his money, and he's just he's on his last leg, 80 degrees, 80 years old, and having a rough time when he should be having a good time. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's
exactly. It costs someone in our country to sign everything up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's the racket that they do, yeah. That they actually, one of the conditions that they do in some instances, they make you sign everything, all your assets go to them, and then they take care of
it.
Every penny, every goddamn
penny.
You sign over your house.
You don't even get an allowance. Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
Everything. Your house, your house, your cars, your heirlooms, whatever can be sold out of your home goes to them. You're not even allowed to keep an heirloom to your child.
They just did that for him. Took everything he had because he couldn't pay all his bills. And it's terrible. And everything he had all the time.
They don't care. And
I think that was the plot of a movie where they were taking people that were getting elderly and forcing them into homes like that and getting them to sign shit like that.
That's our Social Security Department. If they think that you have given money away to a child, they will go back and review your finances to make sure that you did not give any money away to your children or a friend or a church or anything like that. It's heartbreaking. It drives me insane. But anyway, back to my poetry. This is astounding, Pee Wee. It's one of those things that you just go back and you go, oh, this can break open into this large political, religious, and those are the things I'm not allowed to do on my show, nor should I do on my show, because it affects all kinds of people, and we shouldn't do that. But it is very frightening, and very well done. Thank you.
It's a little close to home.
Yeah, it really did. It's just because it's everything I've been going through, so. All right, what's up next, my darling? Pretty Bird, where are we at?
Well, I think we went through all of our singles. So Rack's got another one. I've got another one. Destruction's got another one. Wayne's got another one.
All right. And I, of course, have another one. So let's start. We'll start with Rack.
Blood Moon it is. There is audio file.
Well, I got kicked out of Blog Talk Radio because my computer just keeps kicking me out of things tonight.
Well, then I'll be clicking the audio file.
Thank you.
Okay. Da-da-da. Blood Moon. Here we go.
Rendezvous Under a Blood Moon by Raconteur. The scarlet moon climbed a starless sky. As the change overcame me, the way it does every cycle. My leather jacket provided paltry protection. The hairs stood up on the back of my neck as a chill wind shouted obscenities at my flesh. I moved purposefully through the woods, silently stalking the smells, wafting on the wind. Intoxicating the air. My pulse roared in my ears as shadows fall away, magnifying every movement. Olfactories overwhelmed by the odors accompanying disembowelment and evisceration. The scent of sweat and death led me to her, hunched over the kill. Entrails dangling from her bloody fangs. Growling, she flung her head back and slurped them like spaghetti. She wiped her mouth on her arm and let out a that would make any man proud. Before I knew what was happening, She closed the distance between us. Her palms hit my shoulders, knocking me to the ground. Using her momentum, I rolled until I straddled her. Licking the blood off her chin, I said, "Sorry I was late for dinner. Are you hungry for dessert?" She answered by biting my shoulder as her claws raked my back, shredding clothing, entwining haunches, and giving my tail an impatient whack. Our howls echoed through the trees. There was no satisfying our carnal lust. We were still going strong after the sun rose. Even as humans, there was no stopping us. There is something to be said about animal attraction. So if you want any happiness in your life, don't worry about being late for dinner, as long as you can satisfy your wife. End poem.
Well, there you go.
And Evie for the sound effect.
So, I was going to say, and there's Evie wagging her tail the whole way through it. That's fabulous description. I really do. There we are, biting and scratching. There's a lot of biting and scratching going on in tonight's dark moments. that was great. I really enjoyed it. I can't say too much about that. That's brilliant. Brilliant. We're going to just say nice comments and move on because that's a little on the edge of PG-17, but I really, really liked it. Hey, Bird, your thoughts?
Isn't it supposed to be PG-13?
PG-13, NC-17.
NC-17. NC-17. That's my shows are NC-17.
And, well, you know, I'm really loving that, you know, he's sniffing the air and following the disembowelment and evisceration. because that's
yes.
where the attraction is, you see. The smell of sweat and death. Well, alrighty then. There you go. That's what sexy looks like. I love this. I love, by the way, that nowhere in this are they fully wolfing. Tail, yes. But almost to the end, he's still, you know, in his jacket or his shirt or whatever it is. So I love that there is a faction of werewolf that is still, you know, less
right.
dog than a lot of modern werewolves that are fully wolfing. And so I kind of love that. And I kind of like that, well, you know, dessert's here. And then let the
yeah.
The thing is, you know, there is a very fine line between those teeth that eviscerated whatever it is she's eating and, you know, and nibble on my shoulder a little bit. I mean, that's some gutsy stuff
right
there. But that's fabulous.
It is fabulous. Wade, your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you what, this, I didn't know Rock was into bestiality.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
and this is where I start to lose control.
I love this poem. It's great. It says, I like the stand that said, the scent of sweat and death led me to her, hunched over the hill, and trail dangled from her bloody fangs, growling as she flung her head back and slurped them like spaghetti. Oh, well, I think that kind of hurts anything about that. Oh, I need to see it to believe it. Anyway, it's great. It's a great poem, and y'all was leading in there for a while. I kind of got excited. It's a good job of this, Rack. Enjoyed it.
It was a good excuse to belt.
It was a great belt. Burp, burp.
That was unexpected and quite funny. I couldn't stop giggling.
Yeah, me too. I'm like burst out giggling in the middle of someone's poem. That's always the way to do it.
You were meant to. That's a compliment. Thank you.
And FYI, both pronunciations are correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going back to death. My turn to read again.
There's death in that poem. It may have been overshadowed by the sex, but there was death.
There was death. And again, I don't believe that either you, that Pretty Bird, and you have been a part of this poem. And I have to go back a while.
We've been following the smell of entrails and death.
Yes. So this is Valley of Death by Sweet Pea. Before the after and after the now, there's space that exists in the shadows we catch over his shoulder or in the corner of our eye, a feeling, a shiver, that second we feel when we're not alone in an empty home. Dead men do not wander here in the darkness, their screams not heard outside the caves. They did not obey the warnings and walked with the death through the doorways of the ancients. Mountains choreographed in shadows of skulls loomed over miles of unyielding lands as empty eye sockets filled with the flame of the sun justified their sinister existence in daylight. Black blood drains from the dried veins of the dead from the valleys of shards of glass and shattered lives as rivers flowed with rotten flesh and crushed bone. This is the valley of death we fear, the fiery breath of the dragon on our necks that make us shiver, the empty skulls, eyes that watch us when we know we are alone. Death is the shadow that we see in the corner of our eyes or count the days behind our shoulders. Do not run. Walk slowly, and I shall see you there when we are both done.
You know, there's so many things I like about this, because there's something to be said about the idea that there is not just one Grim Reaper, that we all have our time. And since we all have our time, we all have, you know, the gatekeeper that follows us until that time arrives, you know, just in case we meet our demise early, just in the shadows, just waiting for us to do something stupid. So you'd be like, hey, guess what? Your time has come. But there's something that you said. Where is it? The empty skull eyes that watch us when we know we're alone. Here's the thing about that, because it gave me a very distinct, when there is a person, a spirit, a whatever you want to call it, in the shadows, you first see coming out of the shadows all the bony structure, whatever is protruding. You see that. So their eyes all look sunk in. The lips may look sallow. The cheeks may look concave. Very, very skin over bone. And it doesn't even matter if it's a real person that you just don't happen to see, you know, walking to you until you see them come out of the shadows, you know, on accident, because I get freaked out very easily. They all look the same. They look like death, you know, like a dead version of themselves. And for some reason, that particular verse really just brought that to the forefront of my brain. I mean, if it is like 2 o'clock in the morning and you're driving home alone and it happens to be a semi-foggy night and there's some idiot walking by himself like at 1 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere and you're driving past them, if you catch a glimpse, 9 times out of 10, they will not look like a fully live human. They will look in the shadows and the dim lights of the street, if there are any, they will look sallow and demon-like. And that just must make me hit the gas faster. So that's where this took me. Very, very vivid, very, very in the moment of things that I have known. So that is fabulous, because you know how I love to be transported elsewhere. So excellent. So Wayne, what are your thoughts on the Valley of Death?
I'm not looking forward to this time to come around. When you see someone that's looking empty house, that feeling can be overwhelming. It makes me talk to myself. I keep trying to tell myself that everything's all right just before I pass out. This is a spooky, because it's so realistic. You'd be, you know, I could see being there and, scary. So this is horrifying. Great mm-hmm. point.
Absolutely. At a rack and tour, your thoughts?
Hey Wayne, unless you're blind and the person that you're with has asthma, you're always talking to yourself. So,
well, I mean, you'd be blind in.
And anyways, I love the beginning of this. I could hear Rod Serling using that as a voiceover for an introduction to one of the episodes of The Twilight Zone. I mean, the whole thing was brilliant, but you really outdid yourself with the beginning of it. The choice of words, that turn of phrase of, you know, between the yesterdays and todays and tomorrows. I mean, that was just brilliant. And then, you know, the rest of it was equally genius. When you talk about the skulls and everything else, it's creepy. You outdid yourself with this one. Excellent piece.
Thank you.
Awesomeness. Back to you, my sweet.
Let's go with Wayne.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
This is more of a comedy, but this is pretty dark.
And you are on the board. Just let me know you want me to hit play.
Hit play.
Hit it.
Hit it.
I think I spoke too soon because this writing in the studio is tiny, and I think that's the wrong lane, and I know I put it in here myself. I'm trying to read. I really can't see crap. That is just horrible. Give me a second.
Where you put it?
Let me just refresh in case it didn't just pop through. Here it is. Okay. Here we go.
Hope you enjoy.
This is called Visit to the Park. Standing in the dark, misty shadows, alone. Nothing but distant cries, an occasional moan. Like many times before, suffered through the night. Waiting for the contentment of morning light. Still remember her as a lover and best friend, trying to forget how her life came to an end. Can't believe I am the reason she is dead. The sound of the axe crushing her head. Shouldn't have left her alone in the park. After fixing a flat, got back. It was after dark. She was standing, staring out over the hill. I noticed everything was perfectly still. Put my arm around her, said, sorry, I'm late. She turned. I saw a look I grew to hate. It was pale, emotionless, eyes with a slight glow. Had been attacked. How was I to know? Said, hey, baby, let's leave. Get out of here. She let out a scream. Never have I felt such fear. Had fangs, evil eyes, blood coming out her ear. Started backing up, didn't want her to get near. As I got in the car, noticed she was dragging her feet. How could this be, the girl I thought so sweet? Heard crash as the window broke. Tried to crawl in. Looked at her, she was grabbing at me with an evil grin. As I floored the pedal, she lost grip and fell. Right then, knew this evening wasn't going well. In bed that night, news said two more missing. All I could think about was the two of us kissing. Next day, got two of my friends and went to look. Had pistols, rope, axe, and water. That's all we took. As soon as it became dark, the eerie noises began. Friends looked nervous. I was there to take a stand. Billy said, that's enough. Got his stuff. Started to leave. Heard a grunt. He's being dragged off, I believe. Joe ran after him. Fired a couple shots in the air. Two of them grabbed him. Started biting, spitting out his hair. As I turned, one grabbed me. Hit him between the eyes with an axe. He fell back. I chopped him again. Got blood all over my slacks. One last chop took his head off. He didn't move again. Saw another. Grabbed gun. Blew off his head. Got sick and wind. Went home. I knew what to do. Return and stop the madness. Got prepared. Every night would return, but with sadness. Only thing that would stop them, taking off their head. It was kill them, or I was going to bend up dead. One long night, had decapitated two. Saw one was my girl. I loved her more than anything. She was my oyster's pearl. She came after me. At first, I just stood still. I looked her in the eye, knew it was up to me to kill. It was a little slow. She got the gun out of my hand, then backslapped me to the ground. I had all I could stand. Rolled over, grabbed my axe, jumped up, looked her in the eye. My first swing took half her arm off. I felt bad. Started to cry. She was grabbing without a hand. Didn't know why. Came to my senses. I knew it was best for her to die. I wasn't so bad to hold her and say goodbye, but I'm no fool and decided not to try. That's when I struck in her head. She fell back with the strangest sound when I heard her head crack. Didn't take but one more swing to take her head off. Chopped it with a swing like I was playing golf. Every night, standing in the dark, misty shadows, alone, listening to the moaning screams, the eerie sound ever known. I watched them come, under the moonlight shone. Feel like I'm in charge. It's where I sit on my throne. Hello?
You need to go to batting practice, Wayne.
Call practice. Talk to take her head off one swing.
Well, I couldn't answer because I was laughing hysterically. This is the by far the best zombie, the best zombie home movie, whatever you call it, thing I have ever watched. I don't even know what genre you put into, but it should be made into a movie, a book, whatever, because I laughed my ass off through the whole thing.
He's coming.
Oh my God, this was great, Wayne. I love zombies. I love zombie movies. I love zombie anything. I'm a huge Grateful Dead. Walking Dead fan. I'm a huge. It goes way back before then. Living Dead, all of it. I just am a huge zombie movie fan. So, Walking Dead is the newest of them, but I was that long before this. Talk about 70s movies and all that. So zombies are my thing. But this was just brilliant. The whole storyline, the whole imagery, the whole. All of that you're good at, but this is like an epic storytelling. It's like it should be in a book somewhere. I am just overwhelmed by it. I love your shit, but this is brilliant. Bravo. Sweet, Sweet. I'm calling Pretty Bird Sweet now. Okay. Neither. I've had way too many popsicles. Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
I kind of miss the old zombie movies where they're just calling for brains and slowly trudging along, because this was back slapping you and knocking things out of your hand. I would lose. I would absolutely lose. That is awesome, though. It's awesome. It's all, I cut off her arm and I got sad, but... I wanted to say goodbye, but you know what? Forget that, because she's got to die. And I absolutely love that you made it your life's purpose, sitting on your throne waiting to kill them all. And I love that. I just love that. That is awesome. This was, captivating. It was fabulous. You did a great job.
Thank you.
And Rockin' Tour, your thoughts?
Well, after having my brains beaten out of me, I don't know that I could think. that was cool, Wayne. Just 101 ways to die, and you keep changing it up just enough. I like how you're always remorseful after you cut her, start cutting people to pieces. It made me sad, but you know what? I'm going through with it, you know? It's like I had the right idea in the first place. My conviction stands, and you know, you're a man of convictions. It's like once you decide they got to go, even in the aftermath and the bloody messes, I ruined my slacks, but hey, I got a job to do. I got a job to do.
Yeah. Or the head crack.
All right, pretty bird. Let's start with you next.
Sure. Well, I see sure, but it will not copy. Give me a second. Here we go. Okay. And it is on the board. I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to, you know, compete with that, but whatever.
I know.
This is Feasted, and it goes like this. Peel my skin with razor's tongue as life trickles from my flesh. Garnet jewels must be attended. There is nothing else. Tears, a gift and sacrifice fed by emotions running deeper than the depths of hell's nether and truer than Polaris. Blinded and devoured by shameless greed in need of sated fixations in tortured reality and torturous craving, crazed in frenzied fashion to feed our fancy. Drink my sins into non-existence while basking in the birth of new demons. Cardinals are red times seven, breaking down daylight in claret trails. Lead me to lasciviousness and feasted genuflection, worship until the very air we breathe smells like the very sin we crave. And poem.
I don't know how you can go from, I don't know how to compete with that, to peel my skin with razor's tongue. Okay, that's how you compete with that. Good Lord. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
I mean, just a little bloodletting. You're fine.
Just a little. This is gorgeous. Drink my sins into non-existence while basking in the birth of new demons. What a line. This is so good. I mean, oh, lead me to lavishness. Wow. This is great. I mean, it is. It's a little bloodletting, a little birth of demons, a little bit of darkness. Mm. God, it smells like the very sin we crave. Mm.
Nothing like tainted air. What can I say?
What can you say? A little bit of darkness, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But, you know, there's that little holy water we can just bathe in. Or burn up. We don't know which way it's going to go. Steam bath or cleanliness. Yeah, I really like this. You do so well. You do so well with all of it. The sensual, the edgy, the darkness, you know. Which way will Pretty Bird go today? But it's gorgeous. Your imagery, your language, everything. I can't say enough, as always. Funny. Wayne, your thoughts?
Thank you.
Wow, I could hardly get past the first stanza. Like you said, peel my skin with a razor tongue as my life trickles from my flesh. Then she went down to the jewels. I thought she was talking about a man's balls. Well, that was a word.
Okay. Still PG-13.
I'm sorry. Every stanza was pretty intense. It was pretty intense, every one of them. Great, great ride, and dark as hell. And I'm sorry to say the wrong thing. I watched my
No,
thing.
You're fine, Wayne.
Fine, you're fine, Wayne.
This is dark. It's real dark, and it's really good and very poetic, but it's got every stanza. It's kind of a gory, real gory, but it's a good poem. Great poem.
Yes. Yes, it is. And Raconteur.
Yeah, bring to mind the idea. You know, we've all got our different triggers, and, you know, the idea of what something triggers is the I guess the aftermath of that thought too. You know, it's one thing to be triggered. It's what you're triggering also. So a little bloodletting that leads to lust. That's a certain type of person, I guess. I don't know how to describe that, but you certainly did, and you did it amazing. Well, you know, it's the thought of getting a swollen head from listening to something like that, you know, without any blood, that's not possible. So, you know, excellent, right?
If anybody's wondering what that metallic sound is, apparently my dog is out of water because she threw her bowl at me.
Oh, I love that. All right, we got one more from Infinite
Destruction.
We're done, right?
Yes.
All right. I love your dog throwing your bowl at you, though.
Yeah, incessantly. She's a menace.
She wants a bath, she climbs on the bathtub. She wants the water, she throws a bowl. And she shakes her ass at you when she needs it wiped.
Yeah, she does.
Who's in charge?
She's a very intelligent dog.
She's
who,
awesome.
Who runs who?
She doesn't run me.
The very,
shut up.
That very intelligent dog does.
She's fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Okay, there's Wendigo, blood red eyes. All right. Are you guys ready? It's on the board.
All right. Let's go.
Here we go.
They're blood red eyes. The curse of Lupin set to meld it into my sinew. Yet once more 'twas bound to stain the midnight hue. Resistance is perpetual futility. Consciousness bid thee adieu. For a man to predator of man throw prey is what I felt I fell into. Five more moments until the abomination performed another encore. Cigar burning tobacco smoke into the air stings my eyes, addiction, chore. One moment taken to whisper humanity into my soul. Oh, return, I implore. The next four counting seconds the ticks be. Coming, drumming, just me, four fractures of consciousness, also bones, snapping and cracking, ill breath for screams, agony unchecked, unfettered, gut-wrenching, final sounds I produce, drowning and roaring, so free. From mountain to monster, another became and I was undone. A swabbing, the curse of Lupin melted into my sinew. Yet once more shall be staining the midnight dew. A look into the sky, one last time, before I must bid thee adieu. Thou art prey to what I've become. With sorrow and rage, I adore you. Through blood-red eyes, I see you quivering under this daunting form.
I really love this poem, or this story of him going to the mountains. Or going to space and getting into this, you know, place and all of things happening and all of this. And I really did, and I know we only have like 60 seconds and everything's going to go blank, so I'm just going to kind of rush through this. It's one of my favorites that he's done. It's dark and brooding and the theme from the background and everything, you know, still... I'd like to hear more of you, but it's great. It's wonderful. It's powerful. It's got a great story. One moment taken to whisper humanity into my soul. Oh, return, I implore. The next four counting seconds the ticks become drumming just before. And, you know, and he's got this agony that turns into rage. It turns into, you know, this through blood red eyes. I see you quivering under this daunting full moon. You know, and he comes back. So there's just all of that. And it's all in there, and it's got all of these emotions from fear to rage to, you know, everything. And I love No Breath for Screams. It's just got all that guttural tone and all that you know, anxiousness, and it brings all of that to the top. So it's definitely been one of my favorites. My comment was always, you can't see my standing ovation to you. You have that powerful ability to bring that out in people. And I think that, keep up with it. You know I'm a fan. I am going to bid my beautiful group of people a sounding good night. I've had a wonderful time tonight. It's been just absolutely amazing. Thank you very much for Deb and Raconteur and Pretty Bird and Mr. Wayne Jett for hanging out with me. I can't do this at all without you guys. You guys are amazing. I love doing what I do. Thank you guys very, very much. I've had a great group of writers here tonight. Again, can't do this show without any of you guys. Rack and Pretty Bird, Infinite Destruction, JCA, Deborah Lee, Wayne,
Angel.
Angel. You are just a little rusher. I love you, but you make sure I get them because he's got my back. That's my Rack. He's got my back. Making sure I don't forget anybody. Thank you very much for that, too. I always appreciate that. But I am going to say goodnight. My time is done. Make sure you guys tune back in. Unfortunately, the show has been canceled for tomorrow night. So our next show is going to come up on Saturday night with the Mad Hatter. And let me see if I can go and see what their theme is going to be for Saturday night.
Growing old.
It's growing old. Growing old with you. Okay, that sounds like a great. And then, of course, our special show on 9/11, Monday Night's Prompt is First Responders episode. And that is also dear and true to my heart because the entire world was affected by the terrorist bomber across the United States. Not just the towers, but the plane and the... no, good God. I can't. It's not the Pentagon. So we lost a lot of people across the world. We have continued to lose people. So everybody say goodnight. Love y'all. Love everybody that it takes part in using the power of poetry to change the world. Talk to you soon, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Good night.
Good night.